I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me every day, every weekday, for 2 hours you can get the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda right here in Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers. Today is Friday. So we got a couple of regular segments that we do every Friday. We'll get to next hour, and the first one is False Flag Friday. The warmongers are trying to kick things off in Iran. I don't know how much people are paying attention to that, with the tweet and all really dominating the headlines. With Trump trying to calm it down, the warmongers, this is some level of a tug-of-war game, near as I can tell. I have my suspicions on who will win, but we're going to report on that. There's actually a lot of stuff going on the Iran situation right now. Don't know how much of it is true or false, so we'll take a look at all of that stuff. And then I've got something a little bit different even before then that I'm going to get into at the much risk to... much risk to this show. I'm going to get into a topic a little bit later. It's different. It could kind of fit into the false flag segment, but we're celebrating an important anniversary, and so I thought today was as good a day as any to bring it up. We'll take a look at that. I'll explain. I'm scared to even tease it too much because I don't want to lose you up front. It's a thought experiment. Today we're just going to do a little bit of just independent thinking and then draw our own conclusions, which is what we do here. So we'll do that, and then we will end the show, as we always do, in the second hour, the second half of the second hour. We'll take a look back at the week on the lunatic left, and I've got some doozies. I've got some pretty good stuff to look at the insanity of what the left has become. I was talking to a friend of mine at the gym yesterday. He's a pretty libertarian guy like I am now. He used to be a very liberal guy. I was always kind of surprised. He was particularly more liberal before he became very successful. And I don't know. I haven't asked him. I may ask him today. I may see him today. Ask him what really changed his mind on things, because, you know, a lot of people, pretty easy. They say, what do they say? If you're not a liberal when you're young, you've got no heart. And if you're not a conservative when you're older, you've got no brain. Well, you know, a lot of times that's a pocketbook issue, too. You see successful people who grow up, as I say, as much as I love a good liberal heart, I have great admiration for that. But then they grow up and they start seeing it in practice, and they see what's the chunk that's taken out of their incomes every year when they achieve some level of success. And that tends to change things. So, but even he was saying, you know, we were talking at the gym, the TVs are on, Trump was doing his thing, they were covering the tweets, because that's all we talk about is the tweets. And he was, you know, we were just kind of commenting on it, and he said, yeah, but the left has got nobody. I mean, nobody. 20 people, 23 candidates, something like that, and more set to announce. Stacey Abrams, the woman who, for some reason, the Democrats are throwing their lot in with candidates who actually lost their election. Stacey Abrams for the governorship of Georgia. Beto O'Rourke, who went for Ted Cruz's seat and lost. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon. She's still out there waiting in the wings. My source told me a while back it was going to be Michael Bloomberg. I still have my doubts, but I still put that out there because I'll be the only person who called it should it happen. So I'm just hedging my bets on that one. What's his name? The billionaire, Tom Steyer, is that his name, has announced recently that he's going to be running. He's a billionaire, huge anti-Trump guy, so he's entering. I mean, they're not done having people enter the race. Eric Swalwell, the only one to have left, and still with 23, 24, 25, 30 candidates, they cannot find a single person that comes off as completely sane. Tulsi Gabbard, the closest thing on foreign policy. She's got a great foreign policy stance. Her domestic policy, unfortunately, is a bit of a train wreck. So we'll breeze through a little bit of news here. The tweet, you know, this thing has morphed. I don't know if people still are standing by this thing or not. This is really paying off. Trump is now saying he was forced yesterday in press conferences, and I don't have a clip, but was forced to essentially walk back the chant. He was forced to disavow his own supporters at one of his rallies. Now, I'm sure he does this half-heartedly and because he's backed into a corner because the send her back chant was a bad optic. Unfortunately, he has taken the exact wrong path on trying to walk that back and saying, well, you know, you'd have to ask them. He said, that was in North Carolina. You'd have to ask them why they chanted that. Well, number one, they chanted it because of your tweet. And number two, he says, well, you know, I didn't really approve of that. I didn't like that. So I started speaking quite quickly. So I saw two different newscasts where they actually put a stopwatch on him and they play the entire thing. And what happens is people start the send her back chant, and actually they stop before he starts speaking. I was so suspicious when I saw the first newscast that they had somehow doctored the time or the audio of it, because I saw it before and it didn't really catch my attention. So I went and found the raw video from the actual rally where they started the send her back chant. And it's true. He waited 13 seconds before he started speaking again. And he only started speaking again after the crowd died down. My point being, if you're going to fight back, if you're going to disavow this stuff, at least have a leg to stand on. And again, I will say this style is serving nobody. That tweet served no good purpose whatsoever, but I know people are frustrated. As caller said yesterday, what else is Donald Trump supposed to do? Well, I'll tell you what I believe. It's not in him, but if he spoke about 50% less than he currently does, his approval rating would pop just on that. Press isn't going to leave him alone. Democrats aren't going to leave him alone, but I think he gets in his own way and sabotages his own success with the tweets and the comments. I did run across this, though. So there we go. If any Trump supporters are still with me, because you're mad at me again for calling out the tweet, and now his walk back, I think, is done very clumsily. And the thing that's frustrating to me, the entire last week, and this is going to go through the weekend shows, and who knows if something else happens, this is going to be a 7 to 10 day news cycle on a stupid tweet. With important stuff in the world going on, important things that Donald Trump says he's committed to being getting done or not getting done, in 7 to 10 days you're going to be talking about this dumb tweet. But I understand the media is going to be after him anyway. This piece ran on NBC News. It is really difficult to stomach the mainstream news now. When it comes to the Jeffrey Epstein stuff, with all of the smoke around the Clintons, around other Democrats, around everything else, they are still trying to tie the Epstein stuff around Trump's neck exclusively, and this is how NBC tried to do it.
Also being talked about tonight, some video shot by NBC News 27 years ago that offers a glimpse into the past relationship between President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein.
26 years ago.
He's now facing new sex trafficking charges. NBC's Stephanie Gosk has details.
A 1992 party at Mar-a-Lago. Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein shared a joke.
1992. Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein shared a joke.
And the laugh. NFL cheerleaders danced among the crowd. The video from NBC's archives was shot more than a decade before Epstein served 13 months in a Florida jail for procuring a minor for prostitution. Last week, after Epstein pleaded not guilty to new federal sex trafficking charges, the president characterized their relationship.
People in Palm Beach knew him. He was a fixture in Palm Beach. I had a falling out with him a long time ago. I don't think I've spoken to him for 15 years. I wasn't a fan.
But in a 2002 magazine article, Trump called Epstein a terrific guy, adding, "It is even said he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side." On Thursday, a federal judge will decide if Epstein gets out on bail. Prosecutors have argued he is both a risk to the public and a flight risk, citing his more than $500 million wealth, piles of cash, loose diamonds, and an expired foreign passport under a different name, but with Epstein's photo, his residence listed as Saudi Arabia. The defense team said the passport was acquired from Austria in the 80s for personal protection when Epstein traveled in the Middle East, stating their client was concerned about kidnappers, hijackers, or terrorists. Tonight, decades later, Epstein's fate is in the hands of a federal judge. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, New York.
1992, Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein shared a joke. Now, I don't know if you saw this video. I'm sure most people who entertain this political news saw this video. I got to tell you, it did strike me. If you see Jeffrey Epstein with a big smile, he is something from nightmares. It's a very odd, toothy grin. Seemed like it's kind of a, it's a very quick shot, but it's too many teeth, too many small teeth. It reminds me something from a Stephen King thing, which just further disgusts me that little girls, young women, were preyed upon by this guy. The news media absolutely doing everything they can to avoid the word Clinton in any of these broadcasts, when the most obvious problem of any politician that's in public eye right now is the Bill Clinton connection to Jeffrey Epstein, the Clinton Foundation connection to Jeffrey Epstein, and the media just is swerving and dipping and diving any way they can to not tie. And the Clinton connections are not from 1992. They are from the 2000s. I've also, I don't know if you've seen the picture of the former Israeli prime minister. Now, maybe it was a cold day in New York, but he has a scarf pulled up or like a half face mask pulled up over his nose so you can barely see his eyes as he was going into the Epstein compound after he had been convicted of pedophilia. And then, as the headline said, some hotties soon followed. So we'll see where this thing leads. But I understand the Trump supporter and conservatives and Republicans' outrage at the mistreatment of Donald Trump by the mainstream media. But I got to tell you, the tweets are not solving that. The tweets are exacerbating that. It's making it worse. And now the Trump supporters that were at that rally chanting, "Send her back," are actually left swinging in the wind. Even Trump is disavowing what they said. Now, I know he has to. But isn't it amazing that he gets them to a point like that where they go overboard into a really, really bad optic, and now he himself has got to disavow them because this thing has turned into such a mess? Heaven forbid some headline hits where there's actual violence against some immigrant at some point. You will really see a problem for Trump supporters and for Trump himself, and a news media tripping all over themselves to lay blame on him. He needs to put down the Twitter.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
We all have things that we probably look back on in life and think we should have done something different. And one of the cruel ironies of life is that you get interested in different things the older you get, and you're forced in a lot of cases to make career choices or job choices when you're so young and stupid that you can never be assured that you will actually do what you were meant to do. I always have such admiration for people that I see who just really get into some career or some field from a very early age that they're just really well suited to. So many of us, you know, you get 10, 15 years into a career and you just say, you know, this just really isn't for me. I wish I had done this or that. For me, it might be psychology. I don't know. Psychology may be some kind of flaky science. It's very hard to tell. I just would love to get inside the brains of some people. It'd be very, very interesting for me to see. There are a couple of things I didn't understand. I never commented. I was talking to somebody off air about this yesterday. The guys who, this is a couple of weeks ago, I guess now, the guys who escaped from jail here locally in central Mississippi, two guys, bald heads, one of them pretty normal, a few days growth of hair and a beard, and the guy probably just melts into society after he escapes from jail, but he hitched his wagon to the guy covered in neck and face tattoos. Tattoos on his forehead, tattoos on his cheeks, and a tattoo all the way up his neck. Now, I understand if you need to get out of jail, the guy with the tattoos on his face may be a good ally to have. He's obviously willing to do just about anything. So use his help. Go ahead for an escape. He might be very useful. When you get out of jail and you are seeking to avoid detection and the authorities for a while, you need to say goodbye to the guy covered in face tattoos. You saw the pictures when they were captured, which was obviously inevitable. The guy with the face tattoos had grown some hair. I believe he had put on a beard. Yet, strangely, it wasn't quite enough to cover up the entire face of tattoos. Again, you know, these kinds of people just... The stupidity that landed him in jail is the stupidity that got at least the other guy right back in jail. Well, and the guy with the face tattoos. Lesson to you kids out there, don't go nuts with the tattoos. There's another thing that I've been very curious about, and that is this face app thing. Now, if you're not familiar with it, I guess everybody is. I'm about the last person to hear of any new app or technology that comes out because I'm not some old man troglodyte, but I just don't care about much of that stuff. I didn't do Pokemon Go. I don't do Facebook. I don't do social media. I've sent out maybe two tweets in my whole life just because I wanted to comment on something, but never. I don't think I took the app off my phone months and months ago because I needed the room for something else. So, but the face app, if you've seen this thing, it is something that will aid you. I have no idea the mechanics of this thing. I haven't used it. I don't know if you can dial it to 10 years or 20 years, or if it just says, hey, this is what you're going to look like when your face starts to get wrinkly and craggly and you get old and hair turns grayish. I don't know if there's parameters to this thing or if you just look into this camera and it automatically ages you. The first thing I noticed when I started seeing these stories is I thought the technology was absolutely amazing. It's stunningly good pictures, which does not bode well for a whole host of things in when it comes to the manipulation of the public. You can imagine, back in the late 50s, whenever it was, let's see, Kennedy went in and he started in 61. I guess it was a 60 election. There was a debate between Richard Nixon and JFK. And there was a lot made out of the fact that Richard Nixon looked sickly. The lighting on him was bad. If you just look at it, you can see. And the idea was that this was done purposefully to make Nixon look unhealthy and evil, just dark. JFK lit up well. But can you imagine if this filter exists on everybody's iPhone where you can just add age to somebody, that they will be able to manipulate videos of people who want to seek office, who are in debates, who are in news stories, they could just enhance some wrinkles. I mean, this, we are going to be so manipulated going forward. This is why independent thinking is so important right now, to be able to look at something with some level of suspicion, not take anything for granted, even on Fox News, and actually engage your critical thinking skills, which we are woefully lacking in the United States. But this face app, why does anybody want to do this? Is that a level of entertainment? And maybe I am sensitive to it, as each year I'm getting older. And I don't really love that. I'm not fighting it that much. I try to stay healthy. I go to the gym most days. I eat healthy. Because I feel good day to day. the aging doesn't necessarily bother me. The number by my age doesn't necessarily bother me. I'm always just concerned with how I feel, and I feel great. But why would I want to stick my face into a phone to add 20 years to my life? This is one of these psychological questions I just don't get. Now, of course, the problem that they say now is that you're giving up the rights to your face. And not only are you giving up the rights to your face, you're giving your rights to your face up to the Russians. That this is a Russian-based company, I guess, that has put out this face app. The numbers of people who have downloaded and used this app is stunning. It shows you, it's kind of funny, with things like deepfakes, with facial recognition software, it is amazing. Again, I tap back into my, I want to be a psychologist. I am watching the American people create their own surveillance grid here. A country that I grew up in, that I remember watching and hearing about the Soviet Union and their tracking and tracing of citizens. You know, it was the evil cameras that kept an eye on all of their citizens. You know, they'd spy on them. You look at 1984, where they've got the microphones in your little pod where you live, this oppressive Orwellian government. And now we've got people going to websites and purchasing these microphones to put into their homes. They're downloading their faces into phones. In Sweden, and I would imagine it is just a matter of time before it comes here, they're starting to put implantable chips into their hands. And all of the great science around that, where they tell you, oh, this will be fantastic. You'll be able to put a chip in your hand. It'll be able to tell you your blood pressure and send that to your watch. You know who else it'll send that to? To your insurance company. We are witnessing everybody building a digital cage for humanity. China, right now, leading the forefront of this with their social credit system. Another thing I see as a short leap to the United States. And now people are downloading their faces directly into the... I mean, there's no other reason for this. It's not even to unlock the phone. That creeped me out. We talked about that when the iPhones first came out and they had this facial recognition to unlock your phones. That creeped me out. And we talked about it on air. Now, not to unlock a phone, not to do anything, not even for security or access to anywhere, people are just absolutely just taking a picture of their face and just uploading it. Now, I know we're all in Facebook. We're all over the online anyway. Well, what do you care, Mike? I'm just saying, the psychology of what we are creating, the psychology of wanting to know what you look like when you're elderly, that's information I don't need. The psychology of bringing a microphone into your home that listens to everything you say is strange to me. The psychology of being okay with the idea that you've got the NSA listening to phone calls, and I don't mean there's a guy in the cubicle listening all the time. Look, I talk on the radio, but... and the stuff I say here, including the next segment I'm about to do, which is going to be controversial, is out there for the public to listen to. But they're collecting this data. Your phone records are somewhere. Your text, your voicemails, your direct messages, your emails, they're all being swallowed up. And Americans are just, duh, okay. I want to be a psychologist. Maybe if I could get inside people's minds, that's why it's hard for me to comment and hard for me to identify with the majority of people who are okay with this, because I can't understand it. I can't get there. I need to understand what's in the mind of the American people that is making all of this all right and normal. It's not normal, and it certainly is not America. When I come back, I'll do False Flag Friday stuff. A lot of stuff going on in Iran right now that probably a lot of people aren't talking about, again, because of this ridiculous tweet and the reaction to it and all the rest of the hand wringing around it. We'll talk about that next, but next hour. But when I come back, we're celebrating a very important anniversary, particularly tomorrow. But I'm not on the air tomorrow. I'm on the air today. So we're going to talk about, and this is going to be a thought experiment, okay? A lot of people may get really upset with me for talking about this stuff. It's just a thought experiment. I'm not even really going to give much of my opinion on this, because my opinion is still have an open mind on this issue. It's the 50th anniversary tomorrow, either of the moon landing or the release of Stanley Kubrick's finest masterpiece. And if you think that's crazy, as I say, this is going to just be a thought experiment. There are interesting things. The people who say we did not go to the moon make interesting points. I'm going to flesh this out in a minute because I see people get really angry about questioning this. Again, I want to be a psychologist. I don't understand why you'd be angry about it. I like reading theories about all kinds of different things. It promotes more thinking in my brain. It makes me consider things I hadn't considered before. Some of the moon landing arguments to say we didn't go are interesting. You make up your own mind. I don't care. I don't have a dog in this hunt. I don't say we didn't go. I don't say I know for 100% that we went there. And to some people, that's controversial. And that somehow is insulting to our country. I'm just going to make the argument. And if you have an opinion on it, you can call in 601-879-0002. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
One of the reasons that I kind of wallow in politics and stuff is I'm fascinated by what's going on. You know, people watch major motion pictures about geopolitical events. God knows, American mainstream television is littered with stuff about CIA and FBI and all this different stuff. I mean, people should be entertained by that. I find it interesting. I want to know what's going on inside the Trump White House when nobody's around. I mean, I'm fascinated by these things. And there's a lot of things we don't know. I may be about to make some people mad. And I'm not taking a stance on this, but what I do think is that Americans and people across the world, but particularly Americans, we are so deceived by the powers that be that we need to open our minds up and be able to discuss just about anything and look at everything that the government tells us with extreme suspicion. That is not anti-patriotic. Being weary of power is what this country was built on. Founding fathers will tell you that. You should look at anything and look at the media. We just spent 3 years, 3 years talking about Russian collusion and all of this other stuff. The media will lie to you right to your face with a straight face repeatedly with no proof of anything. They will tell you that Assad gassed his own people when it didn't happen. And it's easy to see. Some of these things are easy. We need to be open to some ideas, to just do thought experiments. Where you land on it, pun intended, is totally up to you. I find these kinds of things fascinating. When I first realized that the official story of 9/11 was not true, it almost can't be. Now, I'm not telling you exactly what happened because I don't know. But there are things about 9/11, most importantly, if you even believe that any of the sources from the government, where they should have landed was, oh my gosh, look at that, it was Saudi Arabia that did it to us. When I can watch the 9/11 story be rolled out one way, and then by 2003 they realize that the Saudi Arabians funded it, and the intelligence services were telling the government, oh my gosh, we've tracked this money back, it goes to high members of the Saudi government, and I watch George Bush classify that. It's called the 28 pages. You can look this up if you're not familiar with it. If you listen to my show, you know what I'm talking about. And then the Barack Obama administration classified it too. Kept it hidden from people for the entire Obama administration. and then it was declassified. I can't remember if it's the end. Yeah, I believe it was during Trump's first year. And it was silence. Nobody cared. We've toppled country after country in the Middle East based on other lies like weapons of mass destruction. Assad gassing his own people. They just lie to us about these things. I've got a whole Friday segment based around the governments, not even just the American government. Governments around the world lie to their people to get them involved in wars for other reasons. Governments lie to you. The JFK assassination. We had a president of the United States, a popular president of the United States in 1963, murdered in broad daylight. Just murdered. In the middle of the day. In front of crowds and TV cameras. We've never gotten to the bottom of that. Why? You don't think that's a crime that they really want to solve? Well, unless you believe the Lee Harvey Oswald, which I believe a combined, it's maybe 17% of the American people believe it was just Lee Harvey Oswald and that was it. They kept large parts of the JFK assassination file classified. In the 1990s, it was supposed to all be declassified. They reclassified it. They said, well, it's just not time yet. This was 30 years after Kennedy was assassinated. They kept things classified. I think it was last year or was it year before? Time's flying by so fast, I can't keep up. The time came for them to finally declassify everything in the JFK files. Donald Trump says he's going to let everything out. We're going to go ahead and get this cleared up. They released a few things, and they kept some things in the JFK file classified, for national security reasons, of course. The government will lie to you. The government will deceive you consistently, constantly. And so it's worth being suspicious. Now, I'm not going to take a stance on this. I find this thought experiment of whether or not we actually landed on the moon to be interesting. And I don't want people to get mad at me. I mean, if I was really concerned with people getting mad at me, I would have to do a totally different show. There are interesting things about the moon landing that are worth considering. We're going to go through some of them today. I don't have enough time to do a whole thing. There's a guy. I'm going to recommend this to you, and then I'm going to take a break. I'll come back, and we'll go through some of these things. It's just food for thought. Now, what I've noticed about people is, and I'm sure I'm guilty of this in some areas of my own life, although I have a tremendously open mind, it doesn't make me malleable. It doesn't make me wishy-washy. It just, when I hear something new, my first reaction is not, yeah, well, but, and then I just say what I already knew. I'll say things like, huh, that's weird. Or that's interesting. I didn't know that. Really? I hadn't heard that before. And then I take those things in, and then sometimes I go, well, you know, in balance, it really doesn't matter, and I may stay with my original opinion. But I'll take things in. Most people won't. They will just dismiss it or turn the channel. That's difficult for me as a radio show host. But we're going to go through some of the 10 things. But there's a guy named Bart Sabrell. I actually put in email through the WYAB server here to invite him onto the show. And it is still sitting in drafts now for about 3 weeks. I was scared to hit send, but I want to have this guy on. He's done a video. If you're interested in this stuff, to me, this is fascinating. It's a thought experiment. It's interesting. He makes some arguments about why we didn't go to the moon that I go, that's stupid. That doesn't make sense. Or I will then track it down and I'll see somebody explain to me why that doesn't matter. And then he makes some arguments that I go, now that's interesting. And that's how I parse through that. I'm going to send that email. I'm going to have him on the show, if I can, if he wants to appear. But he did a documentary. It's on YouTube. You can go watch it if you're interested in this stuff, if you like thought experiments, if you just want to see what this is. It doesn't make you un-American. You shouldn't be scared of being. I talked about this yesterday, a comment section about a story about the moon landing. And there was one person on there who just kept, people were saying, yeah, here's something weird about the moon landings. And this one person repeatedly said, there's another person to hit the ignore list. And what they were saying was calm and reasoned. It wasn't anything anti-American or anything. It was just they were pointing out some things about the moon landing that were odd. Yet this guy, instead of reading that and either dismissing it because he didn't think it makes sense or researching it or whatever, he just said, oh, I'm just going to ignore you. That is the American way now. We have lost the ability to critically think and accept information that is contrary to what we already believe. Well, here, we're just going to put a bunch of information out there. I'm giving you stuff to think about. False Flag Friday is about stuff to think about next time you hear of a big geopolitical event. It's just stuff to think about. Get mad at me if you want to, but to me, that makes you a snowflake. If you can't handle somebody who gives you something to think about that you hadn't thought about before, or even if you're repulsed by it or you think it's not true, hearing it shouldn't upset you. But it will. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
The crow flies straight. All right, tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of man's first steps on the moon. This was Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. There are odd things about things and everything. I am very aware that you can probably look at any event in history and find some weirdness around it, some coincidences, some things that don't seem to add up. I'm very aware of that. And so that's why I try to be very objective. I just find this topic fascinating. There's people out there who say we never went to the moon. Now, I think it's about 20% of the people, and everybody is characterized as a nut job. I am not saying we didn't. I'm not entirely certain we did, because some of the arguments are compelling. I may take this topic to Monday. I don't have enough time in the show to really do it like I'd like to. I may take this topic to Monday and let people call in and see what you think, because I know a lot of people get very angry about this, which is that I don't understand. Again, getting back into psychology, I don't understand the defensive nature of that. This is just a thought experiment. I'm going to give you the top 10 things that people say that we didn't go to the moon, and then I'm going to play a little bit of audio from some NASA scientists. That's just interesting. It's all food for thought. And if it leads you nowhere except that, well, we went, that's interesting, but there's plenty of proof that we went, then that's fine, too. I don't care. I don't have a dog in this hunt. One was the waving flag. People have pointed this out. There's no atmosphere on the moon, so why is the flag waving? This was pointed to it, and I'm going to tell you what I kind of think about each one of these, whether I think it's interesting or not. I don't know what the flag was made out of. It was apparently made out of some kind of a plastic, not cloth, and it may have just been vibrating. I don't know enough about, you know, low gravity vibrations and no atmosphere and stuff like that, but that one doesn't really impress me too much. Now, the idea was that the moon landing was filmed in a studio somewhere, maybe there were some fans on, and that it was causing this thing to move back and forth. That doesn't get me there, I got to tell you. Another one of the theories and the things that people point to is that if you look at pictures of the lunar module, what landed on the moon, there is no impact crater or any, maybe any at all, even charring of the surface underneath. You understand there were three rockets. I think there were three rockets underneath the lander that controlled its descent. You would think that it would have somehow left a burn mark on this rocky surface. Yet the surface underneath those three rockets does not seem to be disturbed much at all, including the fact that there was no dust on the legs of the lander. Which you would think that when this thing goes down, it kicks up a bunch of moon dust, which we see in a lot of the other videos. It's almost like sand. You would think it would have kicked it up and some of it would have settled back down. But again, I'll say, I don't know. I don't know how these rockets work. That's interesting to me that that's not there. I also don't know how dust settles in no atmosphere and less gravity. So I'm willing to say, I don't know, maybe dust just blows. I don't know. I have no idea. But it's interesting to me. That's another one. Multiple light sources. This is a big one. If you look at some of the pictures from the moon, you'll see that shadows cast in different directions. You'll see something in the foreground and something in the background, and the background object is casting a shadow in one direction. The rocks in the front are casting in a different direction. This is pointed to oftentimes that there were somehow studio lights doing this. Now, I will say, I'm no photographer. I'm no expert in light stuff. That's interesting to me. But I saw, I read debunking sites too, to see what they say, because I want to learn this stuff. It's interesting. And they say, well, this was on a rise. It was on a little bit of, these rocks were on a little bit of a bump, and that's why the thing is different. So anyway, now here's a big one. It's the Van Allen radiation belt. This is one that's talked about a lot. And this is a band of radiation around the Earth that would doom human beings going through it. And they didn't have proper shielding when they went through. So how did they make that through? Now, to add a little credence to that, I'm going to play this clip from some NASA scientists and just see what you think. It's interesting, but maybe these people are misspeaking, or maybe they're somehow taken out of context. I don't know, but it's interesting to hear what they have to say.
Or, for that matter, even past the thermosphere, have a listen to what some NASA experts have to say about this topic.
As we get further away from Earth, we'll pass through the Van Allen belts, an area of dangerous radiation. Radiation like this could harm the guidance systems, onboard computers, or other electronics on Orion. But Orion has protection. Shielding will be put to the test as the vehicle cuts through the waves of radiation. Sensors aboard will record radiation levels for scientists to study. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space.
Hang on. So what you're saying is that in order to send humans through this region, we need to solve the challenge of getting through the Van Allen radiation belts. But I'm confused. Didn't you already solve this challenge back in 1969 when you sent astronauts to the moon and subsequently five other times after that?
So that's the question. And there's several of these. This clip goes on further. I don't have time for it. So the Van Allen radiation belts. This was an unexplained object. There was a reflection in one of the astronauts' face visors that some people are saying looks like a studio light. I'd never really seen that one until I got this one, until I ran across this story. And so subjective that it's not worthy of really even trying to figure out. Slow motion walking, hidden cables. Oh, the lack of stars. This is pointed to often. Why don't we see any stars in pictures of the Earth from the moon, in any pictures that look at the moon's landscape and then the sky behind it? There are no stars in those things. This is attempted to be explained by some people. Some people don't accept the explanation. I've seen scientific people who say the stars shouldn't be there because of the way the sun is affecting the camera at the time, and some people who say the stars should be there. I am not an expert, do not know. I think it's interesting. There's a rock that appears to have a C on it. There are some, in some of the pictures, there are crosshairs, which look to be on the cameras, but the problem is they're actually, the crosshairs appear behind objects. And then there, one that's very interesting to me is there's, when you look at some of the backdrops of some of the different shots from the moon, they match up, although the foregrounds are different. It might be rocky in front, and then you see these kind of mountainous things in the back, and then another picture of astronauts doing something. It's smooth there, but the backdrop is exactly the same, the theory being that this was done into a studio. I don't know. I think I'd like to talk about this. I may take this to Monday's show to celebrate the 50th anniversary on the other side. It's just a thought experiment, so tune in then. We'll talk about it then.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. I'm going to get into a False Flag Friday segment. Things are heating up with Iran. Again, I don't know if people are paying attention because the tweet and the reaction to the tweet and then the crowd chant and then Trump's disapproval of the crowd chant. This is the news cycle for the entire week. It's why I can't stand these tweets. It's not important stuff. It is a Rorschach test. Everybody who already is on one side or another of this issue just justifies whatever they want to see. If somebody already thought Trump was a racist, the tweet proves it. And for a Trump supporter, he's just pointing out the obvious. These people don't like the country. I mean, it's just nothing but division and hostility and anger. It solves absolutely nothing, and real stuff's going on. While Trump pulled us away from the brink of war with Iran a few weeks ago by canceling a proposed airstrike on Iran, much to his credit, the warmongers are not done with this thing, and it is like watching a yo-yo between Trump's comments and then him sending Rand Paul over there to talk to the Iranians. He sent the Japanese prime minister over to talk to the Iranians weeks ago, and that's when the supposed tanker attacks happened. I mean, this is a tug of war between the deep state, the warmongers, and Donald Trump's great instincts on this issue. Unfortunately, they're not going to give him the room to back up on this thing, I don't believe, and that is quite unfortunate. And the reason that they have the ability to do that is because the American people will put up with it. His advisors are telling him right now, he is telling his advisors, I don't want war with Iran. We do not need another Middle East war. I campaigned on getting us out of the Middle East, not starting something new. And his advisors are telling him, look, President Trump, they'll support you no matter what you do. It doesn't matter. We'll get them on board. The media is on board with another war. They'll give you cover for it. Don't worry. We can take this action. You'll still have your base's support. And they're going to use you. They're going to use Trump supporters against the president to start another disastrous war. They're going to continue to try. And that's what we're going to talk about now. One other thing on the moon stuff. I can feel, it's weird when you talk about things. You can almost feel people rejecting ideas, saying this is stupid. And there's a lot of talk around conspiracy theories. This was a term coined by the CIA and put out into the public to make anybody who questioned the assassination of JFK look like they were nuts. It's been used very, very effectively. I am a bit of a conspiracy theorist because what happens is a lot of these conspiracy theories turn into be conspiracy facts. And there's also crazy conspiracies out there, just ones that just have no basis in fact. I do not know if lizard people are running our world. I do not think that that is the case. I have seen no evidence of that, except for if you have seen a picture of George Soros. I got to tell you, have you seen a picture of George Soros? Or who's the Rockefeller who just died that was like 160 years old, whatever it was? I think it was David Rockefeller. Is that who it was? Have you seen a picture of these old men's faces? They look like lizards, I will say. But I don't know that Hillary Clinton is a shape-shifting lizard. But that being aside, there's crazy things out there. There are a lot of things I realize the government lies to us so much, that nothing is beyond questioning at the very least and looking into it for ourselves. Look, there's arguments that we did go to the moon. There's a couple of very good ones. One of them is you can't keep a secret like that without the number of people that have to be involved. I think the saying is, I don't know if it's a CIA saying, something like two people can keep a secret as long as one of them's dead. So that's a very distinct possibility. There's no way they could have staged the moon landings. Too many people would have known about it. Somebody would have blown the whistle. I accept that. That's very true. It makes it hard to believe anything else could have happened. There's also the idea, my biggest question, when I first started hearing these theories, I was like, well, you know, look, wouldn't Russia, if Russia caught wind of that, wouldn't they narc us out? It seems very likely that some other country that is against us would blow the whistle on that. And I still believe that to this day. The only problem is we would never know if there's a Russian whistleblower unless we really went and looked for it, because our media would never cover anything like that, because the media is complicit in government lies constantly. I don't care if it's the unemployment rate, the inflation rate, or you know who were the 9/11 attackers. The media will carry water for whatever the official message is. Even though you think they're diametrically opposed to Donald Trump, they still carry water for the federal government. So the media is not to be trusted. They're not just radical leftists. They are just dishonest, state-run media almost, hawking, you know, their corporate sponsors. Anyway, well, I think we'll probably get back to that story. I think it's interesting. There's a lot more to talk about. with the moon landings, including the fact that I even heard this on a conservative talk radio show earlier this week as they were talking about the achievement of the moon. And they said, you know, that iPhone you're carrying around in your pocket. And I can't remember the statistic they gave, but they said it's something like it has 1,600 times more power than the entire Apollo mission. That's odd. I mean, and we did it on the first try. There's things like that that make me just go, huh, I don't know. That does seem odd. Anyway, we'll cover that in another show. All right. To False Flag Friday, Trump's trying to stop a larger Middle Eastern war. The neocons around him, particularly led by two of his appointees, unfortunately, John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, the walrus and the whale, are trying to subvert him. Donald Trump, a couple of days ago, gave his blessing to Rand Paul going to Iran to start talks. And I believe this may have set off some chain of events where the neocons, the warmongers, realize now they need to speed things up. They cannot let peace get a foothold. They can't afford any headlines of Iran saying they're willing to work with us on this or that. They need to make sure there's some provocation. So this happened yesterday. This is Trump. Again, it may be me reading this into it because of my own personal biases. Trump seems very low energy on a lot of these things. He seemed low energy on the Venezuelan coup because I don't believe that was his idea. That was a Mike Pence, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Elliot Abrams operation. Marco Rubio operation. I don't think Trump had an appetite for it, and it turned out to be a massive failure. He should have immediately fired the whole lot of them who tried to overthrow the government of Venezuela by announcing another president. Do you know how pathetic that attempt even looked? I can't believe Trump didn't fire them all after that. This is another low-energy thing, talking about apparently we shot down an Iranian drone over the Gulf of Hormuz. Now, why this fits into this segment of False Flag Friday, the Iranians said they've got all their drones accounted for. They don't know what we're talking about. Now, they could be lying. They absolutely could just be lying. The Iranian government lies like every government lies, so they may be lying. But listen to Trump's energy as he breaks this down.
Before I begin, I want to apprise everyone of an incident in the Strait of Hormuz today involving USS Boxer and Navy amphibious assault ship. The Boxer took defensive action against an Iranian drone, which had closed into a very, very near distance, approximately 1,000 yards, ignoring multiple calls to stand down, and was threatening the safety of the ship and the ship's crew. The drone was immediately destroyed. This is the latest of many provocative and hostile actions by...
You hear him switch to a reading there. Listen to him when he changes there. And obviously this was written for him by these powers around him that are trying to get this thing kicked off. Listen, you can hear him switch. And he talks about endangering the crew, something like that. He's looking around the room, and then you can kind of tell when he starts saying, this is the latest provocation. He is reading this from a teleprompter, and you can feel it when it happens.
The drone was immediately destroyed. This is the latest of many provocative and hostile actions by Iran against vessels operating in international waters. The United States reserves the right to defend our personnel, our facilities, and interests, and calls upon all nations to condemn Iran's attempts to disrupt freedom of navigation and global commerce. I also call on other nations to protect their ships as they go through the strait and to work with us in the future. Thank you very much.
Is that about the lowest energy, Donald Trump, you ever heard? Man, he knows better than this. At the very least, he gets this news and he believes it. And it may be true. I don't know. Iranian government will lie. They say they didn't do this. We said that they did. Unfortunately, we have a history of provocation on this kind of stuff. But Donald Trump, he has to go out to that podium. He's like, oh, man, I'm sending Rand Paul over there. I feel like I can get this thing done and we can get this off the plate. But they're not going to let up on him. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, these warmongers in Washington, D.C. that were there now, they were there under Obama, They were there under Bush. They were there under Clinton. They were under Bush number one. They've been there for forever, and they are not going anywhere. They're not going to let Trump off the hook with this thing. The American people have to, across the board, liberal and Democrat, left and right, red and blue, need to say no more of these wars. Regardless of what you think of the Obama administration's deal with Iran, the nuclear deal, if you have been propagandized into the idea that it's the worst thing that ever happened, then God love you, you're just not paying attention. But if that's the case still, how many of our kids do you want to go fight and die in what could be a catastrophically huge war in the Middle East with Iran? In response to President Trump's announcement earlier in the day that the U.S. Navy had destroyed an Iranian drone in the Strait of Hormuz on Thursday, Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif said he was not aware of any downing. Quote, "We have no information about losing a drone today," Zarif told reporters at the United Nations before a meeting with Secretary General Antonio Guterres. "Of course, we wouldn't expect Iran to admit it just lost a drone, but has anyone asked Israel or Saudi Arabia if they're missing one just in case?" That was in the story. This is from Zero Hedge, which is a good, suspicious news outlet like anybody else. There were more things going on. There's like five big things going on with Iran right now as they try to push us into the war while Donald Trump is trying his best to get somebody over there and get some talks started and get us back on track with them diplomatically. The warmongers will not stop. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. I'll be right back with the rest of the story there. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, Middle East still heating up, even despite Trump's attempts to send Rand Paul over there to start some negotiation. I believe the warmongers realize they've got to get this thing kicked off. They've got to continue to provoke until they get an aggressive action from the Iranians that will justify some level of attack on Iran. That's the war that's going on right now. I think Donald Trump is on the right side of this thing. Unfortunately, he's surrounded by the wrong people at the same time. Now, so yesterday, as Donald Trump said, we shot down an Iranian drone. The Iranians say we didn't lose a drone. They don't know what we're talking about. The drone getting near one of our ships is being called a hostile aggressive action. It's very interesting. At first, when I read the story and I saw that a drone had gotten close to one of our ships, I thought, oh my gosh, it must be off the coast of Virginia, somewhere near the Norfolk shipping yards. I said, oh, no, they're talking about our ships that are right off the coast of Iran. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know that we're going to let the Chinese go up and down the coast of California and Texas, Florida, North Carolina. I would imagine we might send a drone out. You think? You think there's any? Or do you think that we would sit back and allow the Chinese to surround us militarily and sanction us, starve our people with sanctions without doing anything? Now, I know people say, well, yeah, but we are the good guys. Well, I got to tell you, our foreign policy team is not the good guys. America, greatest country on the planet, been hijacked by a bunch of bloodthirsty war profiteer warmongers. That's an unfortunate fact. Now, I don't know if that kind of criticism means I need to leave the country or not, or if we should just fix this problem. $7 trillion in the Middle East, it's about to get a heck of a lot worse if we don't stop this. So they say Iran was trying to provoke with this drone coming close to one of our ships. And look, if something's approaching one of our ships and is threatening, I say shoot it down. We've got to protect our troops. I just say the troops shouldn't be there in the first place. That's the first problem. We never ask that question. We just assume that we have a right to be on anybody's doorstep at any time for any reason. And then if they do anything to fight back, they're the aggressor, which is insane. In any thinking world, that's insanity, but that's the way our media and our government phrases it all. Now, Iran did seize a tanker. They did go out and seize a tanker, the whole idea being that the Strait of Hormuz, a lot of about one-fifth of the world's oil supply goes through there. Iran has the potential to choke off the Strait of Hormuz, causing a massive disruption to the oil supply to the world. You will feel that immediately if that happens. Probably would have been best to just leave them alone, but we can't do that, can we? So the Iranians did seize a tanker. In a statement, a State Department spokesperson, how sexist of me, I apologize. In a statement, a State Department spokesperson said the U.S., quote, strongly condemns the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps' Navy continued harassment of vessels and interference with safe passage in and around the Straits of Hormuz. Iran must cease this illicit activity and release the reportedly seized crew and vessel immediately. We will continue to work closely with our allies and partners to ensure the Iranian regime's extortion tactics and malign activities do not further disrupt maritime security and global commerce, the spokesperson said. Now, that's all well and good, but didn't the British seize an Iranian tanker about 10 days ago? To my knowledge, the Iranians have never gotten that back, but the British just went in and took one of their ships. The reason given by the IRGC and Iran's government that they took this was that this ship was attempting to smuggle oil out of Iran. Because we're not allowing Iran to ship out any oil. I guess there's a lot of that tasty, sweet oil just sitting around, and the smugglers are saying, well, if nobody else is going to use it, well, maybe we'll help ourselves. And they're getting this oil and just taking it from Iran and smuggling it out of the country. That's what they say happened. I don't know. The Iranian government is just as capable of lying as our foreign policy establishment is. That's for darn sure. The bottom line is, though, we probably shouldn't be over there in the first place, should we? Most thinking people know that. But we know, we understand, people who listen to the show, we understand that war and the threats of war are not really about aggressive actions or any of the things they tell us they're about. They're about the machine, man. Ran across this story today that just kind of summarized exactly what the relationship is, why they need to kick these wars off, what all the people around Donald Trump that he has as these advisors, what their real interest is. And the story gets into this. Just as Boeing benefited from its former senior vice president Patrick Shanahan's stint as acting Secretary of State, so Raytheon is likely to cash in on the nomination of its former top lobbyist. This is the person set to take over the Pentagon. Raytheon's top lobbyist, Mike Esper, as his successor. Esper's elevation comes shortly after another former Raytheon lobbyist, Charles Faulkner, left the State Department amid charges he had improperly influenced decisions to sell Raytheon-produced guided bombs to Saudi Arabia for its brutal air war in Yemen. John Rood, third in charge at the Pentagon, has worked for both Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, while Ryan McCarthy, Mike Esper's replacement as Secretary of the Army, worked for Lockheed on the F-35. Which on the project of government oversight has determined may never be ready for combat. As POGO, this is the project on government oversight, research has demonstrated the infamous revolving door that deposits defense executives like Esper in top national security posts swings both ways. The group estimates, check this out, check out this number. You want to understand war? Turn off the mainstream media and all of their lies and their twisting of every world event to where we're always the poor, innocent victims just trying to spread democracy. You know what's funny about Iran? In 1953, Iran had a democracy. 1953, the Iranians went to the polls and they voted in Mossadegh. He was very popular. They had a democracy. Do you know when that democracy ended? When we went in and overthrew their democratically elected leader. And now we point to the Middle East and say it's all evil because they can't even sustain a democracy over there. Yet one that was thriving, that was democratic, we toppled it. This, again, is insane. But most Americans aren't familiar with this history. But listen to these numbers. This is what war is about. The group, this is the Project on Government Oversight, estimates that in 2018 alone, 2018 alone, 645 senior government officials, mostly from the Pentagon, the uniformed military, and Capitol Hill, went to work as executive consultants or board members of one of the top 20 defense contractors. 645 senior government officials. 50 years ago, Wisconsin Senator William Proxmire identified the problem when he noted that, and this is what he said, this was 50 years ago, and this is what's so aggravating to those of us who pay attention. Eisenhower warned us about this. We've been back in 1960. He warned us about this. This is another one, 50 years. I guess this was 10 years after Eisenhower. This senator warned us of this. He said, the movement of high-ranking military officers into jobs with defense contractors and the reverse movement of top executives and major defense contractors into high Pentagon jobs is solid evidence of the military-industrial complex in operation. It is a real threat to the public interest because it increases the chance of abuse. How hard a bargain will officers involved in procurement planning or specifications drive when they are 1 or 2 years away from retirement and have the example to look at over 2,000 fellow officers doing very well on the outside after retirement? Imagine you're at the Pentagon and you're negotiating contracts. You're responsible for procurement from Raytheon, United Technologies, Boeing. How much of the screws are you going to put to them and save the American taxpayer money when you realize if you play ball with that defense contractor, they got a nice, fat, juicy job over there waiting for you? You can stay in your little $111,000 procurement position at the Pentagon for the rest of your life if you want to, or you could go work for Raytheon for $350. All you got to do is make them happy on that next order you place. You understand how this works? This is what war is about. It's not about an Iranian drone being provocative. It's not about Iran being the aggressor in this situation. We have surrounded them with 34 military bases. We are sailing warships up and down their coast. We have strangled them with sanctions that are harming the people there. Believe me, the mullahs, anybody that you might be mad at in the Iranian government that I wouldn't care for either, they ain't suffering. But the people of Iran, who have been traditionally pro-Western, you know, they offered to help us after 9/11. They're Persians. They're not Arabs. It's a very westernized country. The mullahs are only in charge because of our overthrow of their government in 1953, which and installing a strong man that the Iranians eventually rebelled against and put in this group of people because they couldn't stand being under the thumb of this Western-approved puppet who was a real strong man in their country and abused their citizens. They threw off our shackles and became what they are now. But it's not hurting those people that we say we don't like. The mullahs. I see all these comments. Well, the mullahs and their pallets of cash. Grow up. War is about this stuff. War is about Mike Esper, who was the Raytheon's top lobbyist, about to be the head of the Pentagon. That's what this war is about. And the warmongers got to keep that profit thing going. Well, that and Saudi Arabia and Israel want this Iran war, too. I'm telling you, it is dangerous, dangerous, dangerous times. Trump is doing his best. People have to have his back and let the powers that be, the neocons, the warmongers around Donald Trump go, we're not putting up with this. Don't even try it. Trump would love you for that. But most people are too scared to go against another war because you feel it makes you unpatriotic. It's the most patriotic thing in the world to stop this Iranian war. I'll be right back with the lighter side. We're going to take a look back at the week of the lunatic left. I've got a couple of real doozies. I got to tell you, I try to end every Friday show for the week on a smile, and there are some goofy stories from this past week. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
It's end of the week, so we're just going to look back and laugh. Look, when it comes to the left in this country right now, it's either laugh or cry. You know, these people need to be educated, and what's going to happen if we give it enough time, one thing I've told you is good news, a lot of the left won't even procreate now because of climate change or the patriarchy or whatever their problem is right now. So if we give them enough time, they're going to extinct themselves. But until that point, we really need to start convincing people. That's why I hate Twitter and the fighting and the yelling and the chanting and all of this. Our approach is terrible. But eventually, if we gave a receptive area, if we gave the left, you know, the ability to come over because we're not so obstinate, they're going to figure this stuff out because it's insane. There's got to be a lot of people on the left right now that are, yes, they're affected by Trump derangement syndrome, but they've got to be looking at their side going, what are we doing here? What are you talking about? Here's the first look back at the week of the lunatic left. And this is a headline that just keeps on coming every week. I've got another one of these. It cracks me up at the same time, makes me very sad for a whole group of people. But here we go again. A transgender weightlifter has swept the women's categories in the 2019 Pacific Games in Samoa, winning 2 gold medals over natural-born female opponents. Laurel Hubbard has once again crushed natural-born female opponents, winning 2 gold medals and a silver. How pathetic is that? Dude, you got outlifted by a chick? Winning 2 gold medals and a silver in 3 heavyweight categories for women at the Games, according to the Washington Times, Hubbard defeated Samoa's Fagagia Stowers, who won the gold last year when Hubbard pulled out due to an injury. Born as Gavin Hubbard, the 41-year-old weightlifter has cut a wide swath through female weightlifting after transitioning as a transgender woman 6 years ago. The only hiccup in Hubbard's domination of the sport was an elbow injury during last year's Commonwealth Games. I mean, you know, this is just... Is anybody else seeing this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. And the women who are at the core of being abused by this, you know, that's one of the things that's so interesting to me about the Democrats and the most liberal leftists. They pander to these tiny slices of society. And the rest of the idiots on the left who aren't a part of that tiny sliver put up with it. How hard did these other girls train? For years, this one girl, this one Samoan, won the gold last year because the dude got an injury and he couldn't compete. I lift weights. It's not hard. I mean, it's not easy. It's not always fun. These people dedicate their lives to it. How hard have these other female weightlifters trained to have some dude waltz in and start taking these things? We're seeing it in races, in pole vaulting, in weightlifting. Every week, some dude comes in and just crushes the competition. And all those girls who have worked for years and years and years, and you think the left is a champion of women's rights. These are women. Real, natural-born women that have dedicated their lives to trying to be the best at something, and you crap on them at the finish line because you don't want to hurt a transgender's feeling. You know what? If you want to be transgender, live and let live. That's your deal. But you're going to give up a few things if you decide to make that change, and one of them is going to be competition in professional sports. That's just one of the trade-offs. We all make trade-offs. We all make decisions. You have to make a decision. Be who you believe you truly are, which is Henrietta instead of Henry, if that's what suits you. But that is a decision about a lot of different things. And one of those is maybe you cannot continue to compete in a sport. This is bizarre. My sympathies to the girls who have trained their butts off for years just to watch some pandering officials in these sports or politicians insert a dude in to take that away from them right when they're at the top of their game. That is sick stuff. It turns out, I guess I'm actually more mad at it than I am willing to laugh at it. Here is, here's a good one. A British woman has been awarded for designing a chair that prevents man spreading by forcing men to sit as if they don't have any, and I'll use the word testicles. Manspreading, otherwise known as having a pair of testicles, is where a man sit with their legs spread apart on public transport. 23-year-old Lelia Laurel says she designed the chair, quote, following her own experiences of manspreading. It came from both my experiences of men infringing on my space in public and also from the Everyday Sexism Project, a website founded by Laura Bates in which women self-testify about sexism they experience. With my chair set, I hope to draw awareness to the act of sitting for men and women that inspire discussion around this, added Laurel, who was given the Belmond Award for Emerging Talent. Here's the kicker, though. Laurel has also designed a chair which encourages women to engage in the very same behavior she complains about men doing. She's got a chair. You'd have to see these things to believe it. She's got a chair that squeezes men's knees together so they cannot manspread. And she's got another chair that forces women's legs apart for sitting. This is a Belmond Award winner for emerging talent on the left. In Berkeley, today in the entire world is steadily losing its mind news, there will no longer be terms like manhole, policeman, or chairman in Berkeley, California city codes. Words that imply a gender preference will soon be removed from the city's codes and replaced with gender-neutral terms, according to recently adopted ordinances. Berkeley voted on Tuesday to replace gendered terms in municipal codes. Words like manhole will be replaced with words like maintenance hole. Oh, my gosh. I don't think teens are going to be like, you know, teens shorten everything. They make everything, you know, it's AOC. I mean, everything is shortened, and then they're going the other direction. Manhole will be replaced with words like maintenance hole. Manpower will be replaced with human effort. Aw. Gendered pronouns like he and she will also be replaced with words like they. The Office of City Manager said that the city's municipal codes currently contain mostly masculine pronouns. This genius, Robinson, concluded, having a male-centric municipal code is inaccurate and not reflective of our reality. Women and non-binary individuals are just as entitled to accurate representation. Our laws are for everyone, and our municipal code should reflect that. So, I don't know. They can shove this stuff right in their maintenance hole, as far as I'm concerned. Colorado State University, not to be outdone. The latest example of higher education employees looking for something to keep themselves occupied comes from Colorado State University, where its Inclusive Communications Task Force has deemed the words America and Americans as non-inclusive. If you're still determined to use American, the guide says you may be, quote, erasing other cultures and depicting the United States as the dominant American country, unquote. Other terms or phrases to avoid include cakewalk. This apparently invokes slavery and black minstrelry. Wow. I don't think I've ever said that word before. Basket case. This is a verboten word now. Basket case. I did not know this. It says it was originally meant a soldier in World War I who had lost all of his limbs. That is a little frightening, but anyway, basket case off the table. Freshman. Now, you know, we know what the problem with that is, and it's not fresh, right? Freshman is out at Colorado State University. And Hispanic. This has something to do with colonization. And what's funny is they have replaced that, replaced Hispanic with Latinx. Is that how you say this? It's Latinx, all one word. Latinx, which no one knows how to produce, let alone what it actually means. That is suggested as the alternative at Colorado State University. So there we go. You know, I got to tell you, as suspicious as I am of things, sometimes I felt like the right was getting a little ahead of itself when they talked about, hey, if you give the left an inch, you know, because I do believe in human rights and everybody should be treated with respect, regardless of who they are. But they were right. I didn't see the threat as bad as some other people did. The left takes one little common sense move, something that may address some real injustice in society, and then they just or get so happy with themselves, so proud of themselves, that they push this until they've got transgenders reading five-year-olds stories about how to transition. That's where we are right now in the radical lunatic left. To you common sense thinking liberals out there, I get you. You don't like Trump. I get it. You want to see everybody get health care. I'm with you. But can you please, please, please stop your side from this level of insanity? Funny thing is, it gets a little bit crazier when I come back. When I come back, we are going to embark, I think it is my duty as a humanitarian here on the Mike Madison Show, to help promote racial healing. And Marianne Williamson, Democratic contender for presidency, has really gone out on a limb to really, really help bring us together. You are going to love what she did at a church recently.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
It's Friday and the final segment, so we're about to put this one in the books. You know, I wanted to explain something to you. When I, at the end of the show, I end the show with the phrase, bye-bye. Yeah, it was interesting to me. I had some younger people in the studio with me over the past couple of months, and it hit me as I said that with somebody that is substantially younger than me sitting across the table from me. I asked him, I said, do you know why I say bye-bye? And they said, no, I've always kind of wondered about that. It is in reference to a David Spade skit on Saturday Night Live, back when Saturday Night Live was actually funny. And he played a flight attendant, a steward. I think at the time you could still call them stewards and stewardesses. Now they are flight attendants. I have been corrected on that before, too. But as people would leave, he was, you know how David Spade is. He's kind of caustic and sarcastic. And so when people were leaving, he would give them his canned, okay, thanks for flying with us. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's where that came from. In case anybody wonders, I never thought anybody would think that that was weird because that's such an iconic reference to me and to everybody that's of my generation. But I realize there's a lot of people out there going, why does he, that's weird. Why does he end every show that way? Anyway, that explains it. All right, we're going to finish up. Look back at the week at the Lunatic Left, and I found a doozy. Holy cow. This is Marianne Williamson. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I cheered for Marianne Williamson at the Democratic debates because she brought up something that I am constantly preaching, which is why are Americans so sick? Instead of just talking about health care for all, she said, we need to be looking at why Americans are getting sicker and sicker. And I mean, I got to tell you, she nailed it on that. After that, it was incoherent babble. But she is right on that one thing. Now, she will not be our president, but I wish that people would pay attention to that. And maybe people will start going, hey, yeah, why are we so sick? But I don't have high expectations of that. Anyway, Marianne Williamson continues to campaign. She's one of the field of 69 Democratic candidates running for president. And she was at a Unitarian church recently, and she decided to help us heal racially here in this country. Now, I think we should participate. White people out there, if there's a black person, a coworker, go get them. Let's do this thing. If you're driving and you see a black person, if you're a white person, you see a black person on the side of the road, stop your car. Go out and get them. I think this is our moment.
So to the African-Americans in the room who would wish and be willing to participate in this, please stand up. And now I'd like to ask white Americans who are sitting near you to please stand up, and if the African-American citizen would be willing to allow a white American who wishes to apologize to you and take part in this to hold your hands.
Oh, God.
And now, as I speak, I'm going to ask the white Americans in the room to please repeat after me.
Will the guilty please stand?
On behalf of myself and on behalf of my country. To you and all African Americans, from the beginning of our nation's history, in honor of your ancestors and on behalf of your children, please hear this from my heart. I apologize. Please forgive us.
Okay, so we're not done. We're not done. It gets better. That is just the beginning of the healing. Now, is everybody? I didn't give you a whole lot of time. Has everybody? If you were a guilty white American out there, have you found one of our African American brothers or sisters to participate with us? Because it's about to get real up in here. Are you ready? We're going to take it home here. We're solving this racial divide once and for all at the Unitarian Church. Marianne Williamson, she drives it home here.
My apology this night. It is for you and for your grandparents. And their grandparents before them. And their grandparents before them. May the screams that were not allowed be allowed now.
I think we're done. I think we are done, Central Mississippi. If I can't do any better than that, I brought you the words with the Kundalini yoga scream to really the screams that have not been allowed for generations are out there. Ah, don't we feel better? This is one of the Democrats' nominees for president of the United States. Anyway, that's all the fun we can have today. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston, the rest of the WYAB programming. I'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.